Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There you go. Home run call of the day. Yvonne Herrera with the home run. The go-ahead home run. And Chip Carey with the home run call of the day. Great way to start the day. Great week. What a week this has been already. What a week it's going to be. It's going to be a fantastic, fantastic week. It's going to be a fantastic month. We appreciate everybody for following along at BB Isn't Boring. Well, after we did the Luke Weaver conversation, which I got to be honest, has been one of my favorite conversations in a long, long time. Go check that out. So we dropped Luke Weaver, and then we have a cavalcade of content yesterday. A cavalcade. And a lot of it had to do with Roman Anthony. Roman Anthony, when you have the number one prospect in all of baseball getting called up, then you have to act, you have to react, you have to give it the appropriate treatment. And what happened, just a little bit of a background, I show up at Fenway Park, and then you start getting the buzz. Wait a second, it's clubhouse just opened, it's just after 3. Wait a second. This guy might be called up finally. Number one prospect in all of baseball. And then Marcelo Meyer walks through the clubhouse. His good friend, another top prospect in baseball. And he's just smiling from ear to ear. Ear to ear. And so I catch up with him. And I say, hey, listen. And I felt kind of bad because I grabbed his hand. I shook his hand. And then I sort of pulled him back. Said, hey, look, sort of like, yeah, is Roman Anthony coming? Is your buddy coming? And he just couldn't help himself. I mean, he was just so happy. Well, and so then I just asked him about it. And so here's what Marcelo Meyer said to me immediately after. I mean, this is moments after he found out that anyone found out that Roman Anthony, the number one prospect in baseball, was going to be called up because allowing William Abreu to go on the injury list, but allowing everybody to finally, our long national nightmare of the number one prospect in baseball not being called up. It was over. This is what Marcelo Meyer, his reaction immediately right after it happened.
What did he tell you?
I found out through someone on the team.
So you haven't even talked to him?
No, I called him. I called him right away. Yeah, he's on his way right now. He's super excited.
So is he found his keys?
He never lost them.
He's driven his car.
Not really, but he just knew where his keys were.
I mean, for you, I mean, you seem like you can't wipe the smile off your face. This is,
yeah.
Right? I mean, this is something you guys, I know you've been talking about for years now.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of my best friends, and we've played together for so long, and I see how he works, and, you know, I know the conversations we've had about how exciting it's going to be when we're both up here, and it's today's finally the day.
Does it, I mean, we talk about how it hits for you. Does this hit like you thought it would?
Yeah, I mean, it arguably hits the same. I mean, I'm so excited for him. I'm super excited for his family. I've got super close to you know, his parents, and you know, I'm just super, super excited for the whole family.
I was wondering about this. You guys have similar personalities, but did you guys sort of latch onto each other right away? It's not only because of your top prospects, but did you guys sort of befriend each other right away?
Yeah, I think so. I met him in the offseason down in Fort Myers, and obviously right away I knew the player that he was, and you know, obviously we were together a lot of the time in the offseason, and we kind of became super close, and since then we've been playing together.
So being a two-week veteran, what advice would you give him?
Just to go out there and be himself.
All right, so then Marcelo hangs around a little bit, still smiling from ear to ear. Some other media members start talking to him, and now everybody knows Roman Anthony's on the way. Right? Roman Anthony's on the way. We can start the conversation. So then we go up, Dr. Alex Cora, he talks about how, you know, he is there. They change the lineup. He's hitting fifth. And so now it is officially Roman Anthony Day. When you have the top prospect in baseball being called up to an organization, then it's a big deal. Unfortunately, I went over and I talked to a couple people who knows what's about this dynamic. That was Kevin Cash, manager of the Rays, and Junior Caminero, who was the number one prospect in baseball and lived that life. First, I asked Kevin, what was it like, or what do you do? What do you do? What's the blueprint when you have the number one prospect in baseball called up?
You've had a number one prospect called up. What's that dynamic like? Obviously, you know, everybody's focused on it, but what do you have to tell them? How do you manage that situation?
Go play like a number one prospect. Put pressure on them. Mm. I know Alex really well, and I know he's going to have a really good message for him. I don't know him other than from afar. I know he's very talented, but I think you do everything you can to eliminate pressure and rely on some of the older guys to make them feel welcome, comfortable, and just kind of probably keep doing what you've been doing in the minor leagues.
All right. Fair enough. I mean, it's not that complicated, right? And then I caught up with Junior Caminero through translator. And Junior, obviously, you know, he's playing for the Rays now. Bat speed king, hitting the ball hard all over the place. Only 21 years old, much like Roman Anthony. He has lived that life. I love the fact that these two guys were there to talk to. So Junior Caminero, I caught up with him to find out exactly what that life was all about when you're the number one prospect and you get called up.
So Roman Anthony got called up. You know what it's like to live that life. What advice would you give to a guy like the number one prospect in baseball coming up with all the expectations?
I saw earlier that he got called up when we were doing our defense work. He was in right field, and I say hi to him. But I'm going to wait until I can have that moment along with him and I can speak to him. But I'm very happy for him. He's the number one prospect in the world right now, so good for him.
What is that feeling like, being the number one prospect in the world and then being called up for your first game?
They ranked me number one after I made it to the big leagues, you know. So it's just a matter of continue to work, putting hard work, and I wish him the best.
The last thing, what is the most difficult thing when you do get here that maybe you don't expect before you get here?
I think it's to be mentally prepared for the decisions that the team will make with you. You know, and I think that's the most important thing. You know, once you go out there, you know, you have control of, you can control only what you can control. So being mentally tough, you know, especially, again, like with the decisions that the team is going to make with you and your career.
All right. Then I said, you know, who else could I talk to? Oh, there's friend of the program, Brian Abraham. Brian Abraham is the farm director and the dream maker, as we call him on the Baseball Isn't Boring radio show, farm director for the Red Sox, and he had basically saw the evolution of Roman Anthony and guided him throughout his minor league journey after being drafted. And Brian had great perspective, and again, another guy smiles ear to ear about exactly what it was like for Roman Anthony to bob and weave his way through the minor leagues and finally land in the majors. So I had more of an extensive conversation with Brian Abraham about this dynamic, about this journey, about this news that Roman Anthony, the number one prospect in baseball, the guy that Brian Abraham had been answering questions about for years upon years upon years, at least that's what it seemed, this guy was finally in the major league uniform. All right, here's Brian.
The man responsible for Roman Anthony making it to the major leagues, Brian Abraham, farm director, dream maker, joins me. Congratulations.
Thank you. Exciting day. Exciting day for the organization. Exciting day for Roman, I think, most importantly.
When was the first time you laid eyes on Roman Anthony?
Geez, probably our, you know, when players are drafted, they come down to Fort Myers for a rookie camp, and you know, we give them programming, introduced them to our hitting programming, strength conditioning, medical, all those areas. So that was the first time be able to see him in Fort Myers.
What struck you about the first time you saw him?
You know, we meet a lot of kids. I think, you know, obviously highly touted out of high school, someone we had our eyes on before the draft with our amateur group, so, you know, knew who he was. But I think just immediately a lot of maturity. You know, not that other players don't provide that maturity, but I just think his presence, the consistency of personality, his willingness to take on information was something that I think was very evident early on.
What was the biggest jump that he made? In what year? You know, because obviously people make jumps and they, you know, it goes from sort of prospect to big prospect. And I kind of remember hearing his name, and you sort of resistant, not everybody, but I might be sort of resistant of saying, well, yeah, he's getting a lot of buzz, but really, like, is it worth it? And then you're like, oh, well, maybe it is worth it. For you, like, when was that jump?
I don't know the exact year. I'm bad with years, but I do know the year he was in Salem. You know, he was doing a lot of things really well. He was hitting the ball hard. He was pulling the ball in the air. Had really good at-bats, really good swing decisions. And his, you know, his surface numbers were not that great. His scoreboard numbers were not that great. He's playing in a big ballpark. Maybe not as representative of how he was performing. But I think as we had a better understanding of what we valued as an organization, what we valued as a hitting department, a player development department, we felt the need to push him up to Greenville. And I think that transition, the conversations we had with him is like, hey, you're really doing well despite what you see in the scoreboard, and here's why. Giving him the opportunity to move up and then really seeing him make that jump to Greenville and really excel was, I think, the turning point for him.
Well, so when you make that decision, I mean, all these decisions are hard ones. Like, when is the right time? Yeah. Forget about major leagues. When is the right time to go from low A to high A to double A, whatever? What was the feeling now? Did you feel, like, convicted in it? And I know it's not just you, it's other people, but did you feel convicted in it?
I think so. You know, we have a process in place to move guys. It's certainly different for every player, but we have different boxes that players need to check. It's not just at bats. It's not just innings pitched. It's being able to transition and continue to improve while also having success where you currently are. You know, I think for us, again, a lot of the things that he was doing on the field felt like they were sustainable and were scalable to the next level. So, you know, again, hitting the ball hard, playing strong defense, good swing decisions, those were things that we felt like that would continue to improve. And he was doing that in Salem despite, again, not seeing those numbers kind of on paper to maybe the public eye. But I think internally, kind of below the surface, we felt like there was a really strong player there, and he has shown to be that so far.
You always worry how he is also going to translate from level to level. He finally gets a AAA, and he just keeps doing what he's doing. For you, was that, you know, as a farm director, is that sort of a sigh of relief a little bit?
Oh, it's a sigh of relief. I think whenever you promote a player, there is always a little bit of uncertainty about how they'll perform at that next level. It's better competition. It's new challenges, new environment, different travel, different teams. So I think whenever a player can hit the ground running and perform, that's obviously a really good thing. I think, again, if they're trusting the training, if they have skills that we feel like will continue to scale to the major league level, and we're making decisions with the information we have in front of us, we feel pretty strongly about that being the right decision. But, you know, Roman has proven us correct so far. And, you know, I feel like with his skill set and what he's been able to improve upon and what he'll continue to improve upon at the major league level, he's going to do so up here.
I was talking to, not that I need to tell you because I know you listen to every podcast, but I was talking to Perry Manassian, and he, because who they call up, the Angels call up guys quicker than anybody. I said, well, what goes into that? And he really pounded the whole mindset, you know, maturity mindset, that thing. You know, we talk about swing decisions and skill set. Like, when did it become evident that the Roman Anthony's mindset was also going to be the level it needed to be in the major leagues?
Yeah, again, I think it starts as a younger player, the ability to handle failure, the ability to work and train and improve without maybe seeing those numbers kind of always look as you would like them to look on the scoreboard. I think the ability to make adjustments, the ability to change during the year, you know, every player is going to go through different struggles, whether it's a bad month, a bad week, just not feeling the greatest every day in the batter's box and continuing to perform up to the level that they feel like they can day in and day out. So, you know, Roman has showed that at a young age. He's continued to show that at AAA. Again, I think his ability to stay even keeled, his ability to trust in his approach, trust in the work, trust in the player he knows he can be while maybe not always putting up the best numbers, but still playing really strong defense or running the bases well or being a really good team. And I think has showed that he'll be able to handle those adjustments as he moves up to the big leagues.
Here's a tough question. What was the most interesting conversation you had with Roman Anthony?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I think some of the recent conversations have been, I don't want to say interesting, but, you know, when these guys get to a point when they're having a lot of success, when they're close to the big leagues, I think Roman has said it perfectly. Like, he's trying to improve every day. He has areas that he still needs to improve on while still having a ton of success, while still being, you know, externally one of the top prospects, if not the top prospect in baseball. I think really having him focus on where his feet are is really important. And I know that's a bit of a cliche term that is used often, but the reality is that these guys can improve every day. The best big leaguers in the world are still trying to improve every day, and there's still things that they can work on in all aspects of the game. So I think some of the recent conversations that the organization has had with him, that he's had with our AAA staff, continuing to come in, work hard every day, again, be a good teammate, continue to improve in even the smallest areas, I think his willingness to do so in our conversation with him have been really strong. Again, it just shows the maturity and the understanding that he needs to focus on what he can control and do the best he can when he gets to the ballpark.
Human nature, when you have the entire public saying, screaming and yelling, why aren't you in the majors? Why are you in the majors? Did you sense at all that he was getting anxious? Like, he'll put on a good face, but it's human nature, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's natural for these guys to want to be in the big leagues. You know, we're very lucky. AAA's for us in Worcester is amazing ballpark. Large set of fans, great clubhouse.
Prime rib on Friday night.
Fireworks on Friday nights. I mean, it's an incredible environment. But I think when you can taste the big leagues, and I think for us specifically, like, Boston's not that far from Worcester. You know, when he sees Christian up here, when he sees Marcelo up here, other guys get called up, Chase Mydroth, Kyle Teal, these guys get called up. It's hard to not, I can imagine, to say he wants to be up here as well. But again, I think the maturity, his willingness to stay where his feet are and continue to work on, even if there's small areas to improve, whether it be hitting the ball in the air, whether it be just hitting the ball hard, facing lefties more consistently, improve his defense in left field and right field and center field. I think all those things, his willingness to do so, even while knowing he wants to be in the big leagues and will be in the big leagues at some point, I think was, again, a testament to the kid, a testament to the player that we're lucky to have on our major league roster this
morning. When you break spring training, what is the thing that you said, hey, you know, we want, you said small things, but what are some of the things or thing that you said, we just want you to sort of work on this? These are where you need to fine tune, and more than just, hey, just keep doing what you're doing, because there is always out. So what are some of those things?
Yeah, I mean, I think swing decisions are always an important thing. Having good at-bats, swing it at pitches in the strike zone to do damage. I think that is a pretty consistent theme for our hitters. You know, for Roman, he hits the ball really hard. He hits the ball really hard to all fields, and that's what makes him such a good hitter. I think taking advantage of different counts, different opportunities to really let it eat and pull the ball in the air for damage, I think is something that we really felt like he could do a little bit more of. And listen, he's going to be playing at Fenway Park, the Green Monster, some of the best left-handed hitters in the Red Sox. Red Sox history have peppered the monster, and Roman does that very well. He is a unique case where the way he hits the baseball so hard, he can drive the ball to left field, drive the ball to center field, and pull side and do damage. But I think there are certain times in hitter counts, different kinds in the game, where I think we wanted him to hit the ball out front and pull the ball with authority. That was something on the offensive side. And then defensively, again, smaller things, whether it be footwork in the outfield, more consistent throws to the bases, maybe some things that might not necessarily be fringy to the fans' eye or people that are watching the game, but I think we felt like he could really improve on the margins and allow him to be a complete player. And then I think always base running too, the small things. You hear AC talking about it, whether it be going first to third, whether it be beating a ball out in the infield, whether it be scoring from first on a ball in the gap. Those small things, take advantage of his athleticism, his speed, his understanding of the game, to be an even better complete player than he already is.
When you see the social media go nutty for the 497-foot home run, right, it's great. You want to know your players hit a 497-foot home run, but it's also...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America, decade by decade. Right now, I'm digging into the history of incredible infrastructure projects of the 1930s, including the Hoover Dam, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge, and more. The promise is in the title. History That Doesn't Suck. Available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let me amp up the conversation. Like, what was your, as the guy, the farm director, what was like sort of your take? And like, could he just have hit it 430 feet?
You know, I mean, I love that he's hitting the ball hard as a pull side homer in the air. I mean, that was great. I'd be lying if I didn't say I got a few text messages after that. Throughout, I think, the city of Worcester saying that they caught the baseball and it was not close to the ballpark. But, I think, again, it's the process, again, as I just said, you know, hitting the ball out front, taking advantage of hitter counts and driving the baseball. It just shows the ability that he has and the talent that he has to be able to do that. It obviously requires a lot of skill. Still only counts for, you know, one run or however many runners are on base at that particular time. But, you know, the more times he can hit the ball out of the ballpark, the better.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Yeah, that's good. No wonder you are where you are.
Yeah, I mean, you know, usually home runs help the team. So the goal of this game is to score runs, score more runs than the other team. So if he can help with that, I think we'll be in a good spot.
The last thing is, take me behind the scenes of your day when you find this out. Obviously, it happens fairly quick. Because otherwise, you would have clearly like told all saw like, but it happened fairly quick because of Willie Abreu's health. Where were you when? Like, how does that work for you?
Yeah, I was here in the office. Had a couple conversations. Worcester was leaving to go to Lehigh Valley, 3 o'clock bus. And we had a couple things in the mix. Obviously, we made a couple roster moves today. We had to hold the bus in Worcester. I think Roman told the story on TV, but I had to call Trace and say, hey, you know, we have a couple things potentially going here. You need to hold the bus. He asked how long. I said, I'm not sure if we need to hold the bus.
So you're the one who had to call Chad Tracy, the manager, said, don't let the bus go. Right?
Yeah, don't let the bus go.
It's a race against time, though, isn't it? Like, you don't want to be going trucking on the Mass Pike.
No, I mean, we were aware when the bus was leaving, so it wasn't one of those things. You know, we knew it was about to leave at a certain time, so, you know, we were prepared to have those conversations. But, again, there was a couple things that came into play here that maybe we weren't expecting.
Yeah.
Again, having those conversations, making sure we're making the right decision and putting the players, all the players that were involved, interest first, and it ended up with Roman getting the call today.
Must be good to not have chamokes like me asking these questions anymore. You can say yes.
No, I respect you very much.
Oh,
so.
Well, thank you for lying. Thank you for coming on. Finally, I got to Roman. We all sat down. This was not exclusive. This was all of us sitting down, gathering around Roman Anthony. He had got to the park. He'd walked out in the field with Kyle Hudson to go out to the outfield to sort of get the lay of the land there. And then for about 10 minutes, he answered questions about what his day was like, the whole thing. So I want to give you Roman Anthony to finish things off. And just for everybody to know that what this day was, it was about Roman Anthony arriving. It wasn't necessarily about what Roman Anthony did in the game. He had some good at-bats, had a walk, showed patience, looked comfortable, hit fifth.
had a pretty brutal play in the outfield where the ball went under his glove, went all the way to the right field wall. But, you know, that's something that he'll remember. Like, oh, remember that first game? Of course. Yeah, that was when I had the error, went to the wall. Red Sox lost. But again, I think everyone came away, said it was a different sort of presence in that lineup because of Roman. So anyway, at BB isn't boring. A little unconventional podcast today, but we want to respect the moment and respect the spirit of the thing, which was the number one prospect in all of baseball being called up. All right, to finalize everything, to punctuate everything, here is Roman Anthony talking about his journey yesterday. This was before the game.
As you're driving over here, how do you describe what it's like to be on the steps of making your Major League debut?
Yeah, it happened quick, like you just said. I think just calling my family, calling my siblings, the people super close to me, my coaches, and just giving them the heads up before it kind of hit the media. I try to do my best. But, you know, that call to my family and a few coaches and friends definitely was pretty emotional.
How'd they take you?
They were surprised, for sure. I think no matter when that call comes, nobody's really expecting it. And I had talked to my dad probably 30 minutes prior just about how I was getting on the bus, getting ready to go to Lehigh Valley, and then called him and told him I was going to the big league. So it happens fast.
How did you take it, Roman? What was your response and reaction?
It was great. Our manager, Trace, just kind of came out and told us in front of the guys before we were leaving, and it's just something that you don't even really know how it's supposed to feel, and it was shocking, and it was amazing.
Did it feel kind of dreamlike when it was happening?
Yeah, now that I'm here seeing this field and being a part of it, it definitely does.
How was the car ride like? What was the car ride like on the way here? I mean, you look pretty calm right now, but what was it like driving down the pipe?
It was great. There wasn't too much traffic. It was nice. I got to just kind of get here as quick as I could, and obviously a little bit of a short notice, but better than being on the bus to Lehigh Valley right now.
Was it exciting? Was it hard racing?
I don't think as much as I thought it would be. I think it was racing more, a few weeks ago when I heard Marcelo was going up. It was kind of racing for Marcelo, and now just, like I said, just calling my family, letting them know, and it's exciting. It's what you dream of.
Yesterday you said you felt ready. At the same time, what thoughts do go through your head as you're coming over here? Like, how much are you, are you asking yourself, okay, am I ready for this? Or is it kind of a calm, are you calm thinking about what's in front of you?
Just calm, now obviously here, just trying to help this team win any way I can. Same game, I haven't been a part of it yet. I'm excited to do that for the first time tonight. But no, it's just more of excitement. It's more of, knowing that you're ready and just trusting in my ability to go out there and have fun and play with these guys and help the team win.
You know all the attention that's been around you for really since spring training and especially in the last week. How do you manage that outside noise and hype now that you're here?
I think before it was just more of, not really paying too much attention to it and trying to get better. When I was in AAA every day, trying to improve on everything I can and clean up my game so that way when I get here, it's more than ready. But now that I'm here, I think it's just to continue to do that and continue to learn from the guys who are here who have been in my shoes and just kind of lean on my teammates and go out and have fun and try to help the team win.
Since you got to the ballpark, what's it been like?
It's been short-lived so far. I got here not too long ago, but it's been amazing. This place is awesome. I've always said every time I've come here and felt like I was closer, it feels more and more real, and now that I'm finally here in the lineup, it's special.
When you saw Marcelo and Christian, what was that moment like and what did they say to you?
It was awesome. It's been a while since I've seen Christian. I feel like I just said bye to Marcelo, so it's great. It's great to, be with those guys and, just to play along those guys again.
Did you talk to them? Did you, give them, text them, just be like, hey, guys, guess what?
I didn't really have time to, honestly. I literally called my parents, a coach of mine from back home, and my siblings, and that was about it. And I was on the way over here, and now I'm here.
Does it make it easier that you have two guys, two friends, Christian and Marcelo, who we saw you hang out with in spring training?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Does that make the transition a little bit easier?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's always been, made double A easier, made high A easier being with those guys. So I'm excited to see what it's like playing with them in the big leagues. I think that's what we've all talked about many times before. You know, going back to last year when we were all playing together in double A, I think it's something we always talked about, and then now that it's going to be, you know, come true tonight is definitely special.
How much have you talked to them just about, like, what's been easier, harder for them, you know, their transition here, and maybe, like, things that, you know, you were hoping to expect when you got here?
Not a ton, to be honest. I think, you know, when you talk about Marcelo, he just got here, so I think he's still kind of adjusting and you know, getting used to what it's like being here every day, so I wanted to kind of leave him alone a little bit, and we talked, but, you know, he tries to kind of call me and unplug a little bit from baseball, I think, when we talk. At least that's how it's been in the last few weeks. But and the same with Christian. Just letting them go out and play. I'm sure they have a million people texting them and you know, bothering them every single day. And so for me, it's just to let them play and then check in here and there and make sure everything's good.
It was such short notice, but will you have anybody here tonight, friends or family?
Not that I know of, no. My family should be here tomorrow. But as far as, you know, I haven't even been able to really check my phone. So when I got here, just kind of put it down and, you know, told my parents and said I'll see them at, or call them after the game and then see them tomorrow. So that's where I left it. And, so I'm just, you know, I'm just excited to play tonight.
You guys have a lineup there at right field, Ron. How comfortable are you there?
I'm comfortable. I've played there quite a bit in the minor leagues, obviously more left, more center, more left as of recently, but it doesn't matter to me. I'm here and I'm going to try and help this team win no matter where that is, and I'm just excited that I'm able to be a part of it, whether that's in right or left.
Like you said, though, Roman, you said your stuff was on the way to Lehigh. How much of it is actually here? Because Marcelo says he's got a bat for you if you need it.
Yeah, not much of it is here. I got my glove. I got a teammate of mine's cleats in AAA. So there wasn't much, but enough to put it together for a night, for sure.
Do you have your own bat, sir?
Yeah, I've got a bat. So
got your glove?
Yeah.
I've got ball shoes.
I've got a different glove, but it's one of mine. So
what did Tracy say to you? Like, what, or do you even remember? Right? Like, do you kind of go numb as he starts to tell you that news?
Yeah, no, we were getting on the bus, getting ready to get on the bus, and he sent us a message and said, hey, we're gonna kind of delay the bus. Somebody, you know, something might be going on at the top, and didn't really think anything of it, to be honest. Just was kind of waiting around in the food room with a few of the guys, and then all of a sudden he came out and just said, hey, you're going to the big leagues, and from there on out, it's kind of been a little bit of a blur, but it was amazing. It's, you know, you dream of that every single day. So to finally hear it was definitely, it was awesome.
You're going to be obviously excited to make your debut tonight, but there'll also be some excitement because of you and energy because of you. Can you appreciate that even as you focus on just being yourself, that as the number one prospect in the game, your arrival has everybody kind of juiced up around here?
Yeah, it's amazing. I think this fan base is so strong, and they've shown me love, you know, throughout the entirety of my career, whether that be in rookie ball, low A, whatever it was. So to finally be able to kind of experience that tonight at the big league level, it's something I'm looking forward to, and something I'm looking forward to for a long time.
Cora has talked a lot about your maturity. Is that what you've always been, or are you able to kind of maintain that even right now?
Yeah, I think just always being, you know, kind of the youngest guy in the clubhouse at every level has definitely helped. Being the youngest of three at home, just kind of growing up around, you know, my brother and his friends, trying to hang out with, you know, the older group of guys. And then the same thing when, you know, ever since I got to an affiliate clubhouse, I don't think I've ever not been the youngest person there. So just you learn it, I think, as soon as you kind of get brought into pro ball. And, you know, it's something for me, I've always just enjoyed kind of leaning on the older guys in the clubhouse and taking advice of the people who have been in my shoes before.
And you knew where your car keys were.
I did, yeah. I was able to drive here, so that was smooth.
The fans were getting impatient. Did you ever get impatient about getting the call?
I don't know if impatient is the word. I always want to be here, and that's the goal in the end, is to be here and to help this team win. But for me, for the time being, you know, like I said earlier, I was just trying to, you know, unplug from everything and really dive into what I needed to do in order to get better every single day with the staff down there at the AAA level and really maximize that. So when, you know, the call came, I was more than ready.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.